In the grim darkness of the 41st millennium, there stand two giants in the orcish psyche, Gork and Mork. Some say they are cunning, some say they are brutal, and every orc worth his chopper will tell you something different. If you wander into an orc camp late at night, you'll hear the boys arguing about which is which, usually between gut laughs and rounds of squig stew. Today, we're going to dive into the green, squishy world of orc beliefs, smashing through the rumors and half-baked theories to uncover what these two big green gods really mean to us boys. Picture this. A horde of orcs rolling across the galaxy, gun turrets blazing and feet stomping. They don't have fancy libraries or philosophical treatises. Their version of scripture is more like graffiti on their war machines. But if there ever were gods, they'd look and act pretty much like orcs, violent, loud, and constantly one-upping each other. So instead of incense and hymns, you get explosions and war cries. Gork and Mork are the embodiment of that madness. Now, let's try to make sense of the senseless. If you were expecting a polite, scholarly exploration of theology, you're in the wrong war zone. We're talking about orcs here, not librarians. Imagine two cosmic orcs watching all of reality as a gladiatorial arena. Whenever an orc does something really smart or really smashy, one of the gods quietly boops a giant scoreboard. Plus one victory. They probably kick back in the warp with a mug of Eldar's worst brew, laughing their heads off at our expense. If anything, Gork and Mork are the universe's biggest troll gods. They know orcs can't help themselves, so they let every boy believe they're the chosen one, whether it's for sneaky strategy or walloping brutality. If you ask an orc historian, had to knock his knuckles first, he'll say, "It's either one or the other, don't care, as long as they let us keep shooting stuff." That's the official war boss approved stance. Who the hell are Gork and Mork? First things first. Gork and Mork aren't exactly the kind of gods you'd find in a spice-smelling imperial chapel. Nope. These two are the prime orc deities, the twin war gods of the Great Wah. They don't hand out commandments or give you a sermon. An orc's idea of worship is more like taunting his enemy and then punching it. In Warhammer lore, if orcs ever cared about lore, Gork is described as brutal but cunning, whereas Mork is cunning but brutal. Some say it's a difference, but honestly, to most orcs, it's just wordplay. Everyone in the galaxy is arguing which is which, but that misses the point. Gork and Mork just want more Dhaka by any means necessary. One might glance at maps, another might swing a bigger club, but if you're an orc, that's effectively the same thing. You might wonder why an orc needs two gods at all. The answer is simple. Orcs are never satisfied with just one reason to punch stuff. Two gods double the excuses. Legend says the first orc war bosses were so massive and rowdy that the warp took notice and created Gork and Mork to keep up. Others joke that Gork and Mork might actually be the first two orcs who got bored and wandered into the warp. If that's true, maybe Gork yelled, "Warg!" so loudly it echoed through reality, and now every gunshot on an orc planet responds with, "Yup, we heard ya, oi." In any case, asking an orc, "How many gods do you have?" is pointless. Trying to count orc gods is like herding squigs. Messy and painful. Instead, just remember, Gork and Mork exist because orcs needed someone to give style points for smashing stuff. Even the orcs themselves aren't sure which god does what. It's like an eternal orc joke. "I'll be the big thinker, that's Mork. You be the big smasher, that's Gork. Oh wait, swap." They literally trade napalm canisters when they get confused. If you see an orc bragging about a clever trap or gloating over an overkill smash, just smile and nod. In either case, pretend it's because of Du Bois in green. The real answer from any orc's mouth is usually just, if it's loud and deadly, it's Gork's doing. If I just got tricked and crumped, that's Mork, yeah? End of story. Let's talk about orc religion. Now, if you imagine solemn chapels and quiet prayer, you've never been near an orc mob. Orc prayer basically means painting your gear in bright colors, yelling at the sky, and then shooting at the nearest target. There's no holy book. If anything, orcish scripture is doodled on choppa handles or sprayed on stompas. Real orcish worship happens in the heat of combat or over a frothy mug of lukewarm grog. Rather than incense and chanting, orcs have shooting and stomping. When the guns are blazing and the Gretchen, that's orc servants, are squealing, orcs feel closest to Gork and Mork. In orc belief, these gods don't impart morals. They reward results. Nail the shot and chances are Mork chortles in glee. Smash an enemy's skull and Gork gives a thumbs up, only, you know, harder and with more drool. It's all about noise and might. More Daka means more divine favor. Orc mystics, the weird boys, claim to talk directly to the gods through psychic crackles. When they get charged up with the energy of a wah, they might spout prophecies. These prophecies usually sound like a drunken barkeep giving advice, but the boys listen anyway. For example, if the weird boy babbles, sunset red, shooting ahead, every war boss will order the vehicles painted red for the next day's attack. Why red? Because orcs are colorblind war enthusiasts, and if it pleases Mork, who cares if the target looks like a squig explosion? Even orc rituals can be pretty basic. If something amazing happens, like looting a multi-gun armor suit, orcs shout, O-G-E-A, O-G-G-A, or WAG, sort of like a rallying hymn. If something goes wrong, like the war boss trips over his own boot, they curse loudly at Gork or Mork for playing pranks. There's no moral lesson, just the idea that the gods better find it funny, or they'll get another tail slap from a Gretchen. For instance, if an orc fails at a job, one might blame Mork's sneaky plan. Or if he gets lucky, praise Gork's muscles. Now, let's break down that whole cunning versus brutality business. Remember how some folks describe Gork as brutal but cunning, and Mork as cunning but brutal? Great. That's called a mind bender, even for orcs, and their minds usually end up in someone's hand after a fight anyway. So what do orcs actually make of it? Put simply, cunning is trickier. When orcs talk about cunning, they don't mean strategy in the sleek space marine sense. Orc cunning is smart in a very orky way. For example, an orc might set up a bomb just to watch squigs bounce around when it goes off. Or one might bait a tau by waving a rotting chaos cultist's brain around. If it works, they might call that Mork's influence. If it backfires, like the bomb hits his own foot, they'll blame it on bad advice from Gork, because apparently Gork can't see worth a spit. Brutal is easy to understand. It means slapdash violence. If you see an orc running headlong at an enemy, screaming and smacking everything, that's brutal. It's the satisfaction you get from squishing heads with no plan. A knob might say, "Dat's Gork's style, smash first, ask questions never." Orcs love that because thinking costs brain power they could spend eating or making bigger guns. Combine them and you get a classic orcish paradox. It's like asking whether red or bigger size is more important at a squig bar. If someone says Gork is cunning brutality, it basically means Gork will punch you when you least expect it. If Mork is brutal cunning, Mork might drop a squig bomb on your head with a wicked grin. They're effectively the same feast. Either way, both orc gods love seeing you dead and giggling. One way to think of it, Gork is said to like a straight-up brawl with a pinch of trickery, while Mork prefers a sneaky hit with a dash of oomph. But honestly, for an orc, both recipes taste like victory. It's like arguing whether to have extra BBQ or extra DACA on your chopper. Any way you slice it, it's all good. Even the orcs realize nobody will ever settle this debate, so they settle it the orky way, with a brawl. The winner yells, "See? I knew who da boss was." And the loser gets a new dent in his helmet. Either way, Gork and Mork both celebrate another good scrap. So what's the practical upshot? An orc will tell you, if it involves any sneaky trick, say Mork's name. If it ends with a death blow, say Gork's. Either way, make it loud. It works because the only rule orcs truly follow is more DACA, more Gork, and Mork. In orc terms, being smarter is how many more guns you can fit on something without frying yourself, and being stronger is how many things you can break before they cry. To Gork and Mork, it's basically the same joyous noise. Now, imagine an orc barracks at dusk. Fire crackles, squigs roast, and two orcs have settled into a lively debate, orc style. They're sitting on overturned crates, cigars the size of dreadnought cannons clenched between their teeth, arguing about Gork and Mork like it's the fate of the galaxy. Oi, I'm telling ya, Gork's the sneaky one. He's the one who thinks ahead, plans traps. I mean, look at the time we set a bomb under the Humi commander's chair. That's pure brain work. Nah, ya git. That was Mork's doing. He's the one who giggles in the dark while the bomb sneaks up on ya. Gork's all smash. He'd just run in and take the big gun to the face. They bob their heads, swear up and down, and eventually decide they'll settle this the traditional way. Call a war boss. Meanwhile, a third orc, who's been quietly carving a grot-themed trophy, just sips grog and rolls his eyes. He's thought all along, funny how the gods always end up just making us fight. Eventually, the war boss stomps in. He thumps the table. Oi, what's that racket? I can't hear myself snore over all this yakin'. They try to explain, but the war boss just grins, grabs his favorite shooter, and barks, "Enough blabbin'. Let's fix this with some DACA. If Gork and Mork care, let 'em give me extra DACA." Cue big punch to the face. Debate settled, temporarily. Because as soon as the next squig finishes screaming, they'll be at it again. This scene plays out in campfires all across the galaxy. Huge guys yelling, trading stories about sneaky wins and close shaves. The gist is, whichever way you slice it, orcs keep fighting anyway. If an orc feels clever, he'll say, "Must be Gork's trick." If he messed up, he'll blame Mork, the sneaky git. Either way, both gods get credit or blame, because orc tradition is to never question much, or else someone'll ask why. And then you gotta fight for asking. Finally, they remember any argument can be solved by firing a rocket anyway. All right, let's see what happens when orcs actually try to talk to Gork and Mork. Hint, it's more likely to involve a big explosion than a church bell. Orc praying is unconventional. They don't kneel quietly, too tempting to crump someone for praying wrong, and they certainly don't chant in unison. Instead, an orc might talk to the gods like he's ordering at a grog bar. "Oi, Gork, if you're real, give us something shiny." Or a weird boy might bellow, "Gork and Mork, I got yours covered. Keep the big boomers coming." One common scene, an orc weird boy on his last spark, on the brink of popping, shouts a prophecy about needing red war paint or a weird chant. It usually goes like this. Weird boy gasping, "De Gork-tar, Mork lives in de foam of de fold, red be de number of DACA." The nearby knob translates, he's literate, unlike most orcs. He said we're supposed to paint everything red, yeah? Because red's faster, or it's got more shooty, or something. Then the war boss yells, "Red it is, then!" And they paint everything with gob juice and engine oil. Later, some orc crawls out of cover, yelling, "Man, that was pure Mork luck!" Even though they're all just bleeding from hitting the wall with paint buckets. There's no real text or written creed. If anything, orcish symbols for Gork and Mork might just be exclamation points drawn in blood or skulls stacked like dice. Their temples are basically scrap heaps and trophy racks. If you see a circle of crushed helmets with a big arrow, it's either a shrine or the war boss's lost target practice. Either way, the boys toss a scrap at it in honor before smashing it into more scrap the next day. Even their churches, if any, are held together with duct tape and shouting. If a war boss declares something holy, it generally means it's a gun or mech he likes. He might say, "My chopper is blessed by Gork," right before he ends it on someone's forehead. Then the boys pretend that chopper is magical and will never dull. It does, because orc math is simple. And when things go badly, say a massive war running out of ammo, an orc might resort to superstition. He'll toss a coin or an empty paint pot in the air, mumble, "Heads is Gork, tails is Mork," and whichever way it lands is the god to blame. Usually it lands on the only orc who's still alive. So yeah, orc religion is basically orc superstition. They believe Gork and Mork are watching, but mostly so they can blame them when needed. It's also a handy way to get free stuff. Gun jammed. That's a gift from Mork to teach you a lesson. Night fighting spore mushrooms grown overnight? Gork's doing, apparently. If an orc commander ever starts using his noodle, the boys say, "Don't get clever or Gork'll smack ya." Think about it. Orcs believe in a pair of gods that they can never quite describe. Why? Because orcs themselves rarely do anything without at least punching something else first. In orc logic, if you ask, "What do Gork and Mork want?" the answer is basically, "More daka, more smash." It's less about right or wrong and more about whether they had fun dying or not dying today. If yes, Gork was chuckling. If no, Mork probably had a hand in it. Either way, they don't much care. It just means time for another go. Orcish advice often boils down to, "If it ain't broken, break it anyway." This is divinely inspired by Gork and Mork, apparently. See a fortified wall? Smash it. See a puzzle? Shoot it until the pieces move. See a human conversation? Interrupt it with missile fire. In that universe, everything that works is by divine will, and everything that doesn't is part of divine mischief. A veteran orc once put it bluntly, "Gork and Mork ain't gods of reading scrolls or teaching gramps, they just want us fighting. There's no karma or afterlife plan, just counting who's the biggest beast." Sometimes an orc greets his buddy with, "Oi mate, Gork gave us dis," after a lucky scrap. Or he curses, "Mork'll get you for that." It's like their ultimate gaming cheat code. Land a kill? Press Gork. Trip on a rock? Blame Mork. Either way, just keep punching. If you take anything away from this orbit of madness, let it be this. Orcish logic is brilliantly simple. There's no need for philosophical essays when you have a good scrap. Gork and Mork represent the truth that orcs are happiest when they are living punching bags with a side of humor. It's funny to orcs that they keep up this god thing at all. One answer is simply that it's hilarious. Imagine if your boss gave you a raise just for flipping a table, or if a loud car alarm summoned a god who high-fived you for being annoying. That's orcish worship in a nutshell. It's also a great excuse for orcs to be themselves. Without Gork and Mork, an orc might need to find some deeper purpose, a scary thought. So these gods give them the perfect cover. Hey, I'm just doing what the boys want. If an orc ruins the boss's helmet, oops, that's Mork's little joke. If he wins a fight, praise Gork for these muscles. No self-reflection needed. So here's the real lesson. If you ever find yourself stuck between honor and madness, or if you're just an orc in spirit, always pick the option that leads to a bigger explosion. Because under all that green, the galaxy agrees with the orcs. Sometimes having a pair of powerful pals means never having to be sensible again. In the end, maybe Gork and Mork aren't about cunning or brutality at all, but about excuses and celebration. They're the ultimate reminder that the galaxy is a brutal place, and if you can't laugh about it while you punch something, you're missing out on the best part of being an orc. So, Gork versus Mork in the ultimate smashdown? Imagine it. Gork with a massive chopper crashing into Mork with a scything truck, duking it out in a hurricane of bullets and laughter. Maybe Gork charges headlong, belly flopping on Mork, leaving a crater. Mork, who's always into trickery, might lob a volley of squigs at Gork's face mid-charge. Gork responds with a galaxy-wide war cry that makes comets dodge for cover. They'd swap names for the fun of it. Every time Gork lands a lucky blow, he'd laugh, "Mork is even sneakier than I thought." Whenever Mork does something monstrous, he'd roar, "Gork did me proud." Because even they know that for orcs, winning isn't the point. It's having a fight so good that everyone's grinning and helmets crack. In the end, the universe might just implode from their laughter. Or they'd high-five big green fists of doom and call it a truce, then declare, "Wah! Let's hit some heretics together!" That would be confusing for everyone else. So whether Gork is stealthy or Mork is thundering, frankly, who cares? The smashing and tricking is all good. If you had to guess the difference, maybe Gork gives you a high five after the fight, and Mork sneaks up to give you one while you're asleep. Either way, in orc bookkeeping, they're both just G for good job, you git. If an orc had to really sum it up, he'd shrug and say, "They like punch, we like punch. You and me, let's punch too." Not a bad philosophy if you ask any orc. In short, punch first, ask which god later. So there you have it, more or less. Gork and Mork explained, kind of, in true orc fashion. If you've made it this far without your brain splatting on the wall, congratulations. You might be half as clever as a grot. But don't rest easy yet. The adventure isn't over. Oi, you've listened to enough orc wisdom for one day, git. Now it's time to join the WAAAAAA at Tales from the Void. Hitting subscribe is easier than outrunning a war boss's stomp. Gork and Mork love subscribers. It makes them giggle to see you worship something other than a cacophony of gunfire. Imagine being caught in a Dhaka downpour, and you're the only one without a Tales from the Void shield.